Imagine waking up on June 1st, 2026. You check the financial markets and there's a glaring contradiction staring right back at you.
It is a striking scenario.
Right. On one side of the ledger, Alphabet announces an $80 billion equity raise. They are actively selling their own stock, diluting their shareholders to fund a staggering $190 billion capital expenditure budget.
And that money is earmarked entirely for artificial intelligence compute infrastructure.
Exactly. But then, on that exact same day, Berkshire Hathaway steps in. They agree to buy $10 billion of that newly issued stock.
It is a sequence of events that really forces you to rethink how technology companies operate. I mean, you have one signal revealing the sheer, unprecedented cost of this new technological wave.
Yeah.
And then you have another signal from, well, one of the most disciplined capital allocators in history, recognizing the underlying architecture beneath that wave and deciding to participate anyway.
That tension is exactly what we are dissecting today. We are looking at a central question posed by an article from the Averaging Up collection. Namely, why does the most profitable company on Earth need to dilute its own shareholders just to grow?
Which is the core issue. What does this specific event reveal about the true cost of growth in the modern technology sector?
In this deep dive, we are going to look strictly at the architecture beneath the headlines so we can help you understand the economic reality of the artificial intelligence wave.
To understand why a company with the vast resources of Alphabet is suddenly diluting its shares, we have to establish how the author of this framework measures the structure of a business.
Right.
It requires looking past the standard income statement and examining the actual mechanics of how a company scales over time.
So let's unpack the framework. The Averaging Up collection categorizes the anatomy of a business into two distinct parts, the A and the B.
Yes, every business possesses an A. That is your current revenue engine.
It's the toll the business collects today from its existing products and services.
Precisely. Then there is the B. The B is the mechanism for future growth. It is the wave that compounds that toll over time.
And the article makes a very specific point here. The critical question for an investor is never whether the B exists. I mean, demand is usually obvious.
Well, yes, and Moe's market analysis gets this completely wrong. The broader market focuses almost entirely on identifying the presence of growth. Observers ask whether the total addressable market is expanding.
Or if the consumer demand is real.
Exactly. But the framework argues that identifying demand is only half the equation. You have to rigorously analyze the capital required to build the infrastructure that captures that demand.
Let's frame this with an analogy for you. Say you own a toll bridge, a nearby city is expanding, and more commuters need to cross your river.
A very useful way to look at it.
Are we talking about a scenario where your existing bridge naturally receives more traffic over time and you just sit in the booth collecting more tolls? Or are we talking about a scenario where you, as the bridge operator, have to pour billions of dollars into concrete to build entirely new lanes just to accommodate those new cars?
And that distinction is everything. When the city expands and more cars drive over the existing lanes, that growth is fundamentally free. The toll collector simply takes in more revenue without spending an additional dime on structural engineering.
But when the operator is forced to pour new concrete, hire construction crews, and secure new land for expansion, well, that growth carries a heavy price tag.
If you apply this architectural lens to Alphabet, the true gravity of an $80 billion equity raise comes into sharp focus.
It is a profound shift in how we view big technology. If we contrast Alphabet with its primary rivals, Microsoft and Amazon, the distinction becomes very clear.
It really does. Up to this point, Microsoft and Amazon have managed to finance their artificial intelligence ambitions through their existing cash flow and by issuing debt.
Right. Alphabet is the first mega-cap technology company that has been forced to fund the artificial intelligence race by explicitly diluting its equity holders.
What is fascinating here is how this equity raise makes the hidden cost of the artificial intelligence arms race visible directly on the balance sheet.
Because for a very long time, the dominant narrative suggested these technology giants were somehow immune to the traditional laws of capital intensity.
Exactly. They were viewed as asset-light software businesses.
Yeah.
But the article points out a stark, unavoidable reality. Even the cash flow of the most profitable company on Earth is not enough to pay for this mechanical B.
Yeah.
When the cost of growth exceeds the cash a business generates, that growth is the exact opposite of free.
Hold on. I am struggling with this premise a bit. I mean, we're talking about Alphabet here. They possess an absolute undeniable monopoly in search.
They certainly do.
They generate tens of billions of dollars in free cash flow every single quarter. Given those vast resources, why on earth cannot they just absorb these infrastructure costs with the cash they already have without resorting to shareholder dilution?
The answer comes down to a fundamental difference outlined in the text. It is the difference between growth captured inside a moat versus growth fought for outside of it.
I see. So growth inside the moat is free. That is the true B.
Yes. Think about Google search. It grows naturally inside its behavioral monopoly, where it holds over 90% global market share.
Right. So when more internet users conduct more queries and more advertisers bid for that attention, that growth arrives with zero marginal costs.
Because the infrastructure already exists. The servers are there, the algorithms are already trained, and competitors simply cannot enter the space to drive up the cost of acquisition.
The moat that protects the search business also captures its growth automatically.
Precisely. That is your toll bridge, receiving more traffic without needing new concrete. However, artificial intelligence compute and cloud infrastructure exist entirely outside that legacy search moat.
Ah, right.
The dominance Google enjoys in search provides absolutely no protection or natural advantage in the realm of cloud computing.
Here is where it gets highly interesting. In the cloud arena, Google faces a perfectly level playing field. They are going head-to-head against Microsoft Azure and Amazon Web Services.
And you have three giants with comparable resources, each of them spending between $100 and $200 billion to capture the exact same enterprise demand.
So building artificial intelligence is not a simple expansion of the existing search franchise. It is the construction of a completely new business model built on heavily contested ground.
Yes, and the market frequently conflates these two different types of growth. Because the company name on the stock ticker is the same, observers assume the economics of the new venture will mirror the economics of the legacy monopoly.
They assume artificial intelligence margins will look like search margins.
Exactly. But every dollar of artificial intelligence revenue must be fought for, built for, and paid for. The search moat collects none of it automatically.
The text actually distinguishes between the magnificent A, which is that core cash-generating monopoly-like search, and the imperfect B, which is the contested capital-intensive growth outside the moat.
And Alphabet clearly has a magnificent A, but they're currently funding an imperfect B.
Right. And if Alphabet possesses an imperfect B, we need to examine what a perfect growth architecture actually looks like for contrast.
The averaging up collection provides a specific diagnostic tool for this. It is called the three layers test.
The three layers test measures whether a business can capture three specific layers of growth at strictly zero cost. Those layers are real volume, pricing power, and inflation pass-through.
Let's apply this test to the companies we're discussing. Google captures roughly two of the three. They have natural volume growth in search, yes.
But their pricing power is only partial. I mean, ad pricing is highly competitive and auction-based, which means they do not have unilateral control over it.
Well, and more importantly, cloud computing pricing is structurally deflationary over time.
Yeah, that deflationary aspect is critical to understand.
It is. Think about the mechanics of the cloud. You are essentially renting out processing power and storage. Every year, hardware gets more efficient due to technological advancements.
Right.
And providers like Amazon, Microsoft, and Google are locked in a perpetual price war to capture massive enterprise clients.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, the cost per compute cycle trends downward.
So you have to constantly invest more capital just to maintain your revenue base as the underlying commodity becomes cheaper.
Exactly. Now, look at Microsoft. They capture about 2.5 of those three layers. Their volume grows naturally, and their pricing power is exceptionally strong.
Because they can simply increase subscription fees for Office and Windows, and enterprise clients will pay it due to switching costs.
Right. Their inflation pass-through is moderate. But even with that stronger architectural profile, their Azure cloud division still demands participation in this massive $100 billion capital expenditure arms race.
To find a perfect score on the three layers test, the author points entirely outside the big technology sector. The article identifies Visa as a pure free surfer.
Visa captures all three layers at strictly zero cost. They benefit from the natural volume of global digital payments constantly increasing.
As the world naturally moves away from cash.
Yes, they possess structural pricing power within the banking ecosystem, and most importantly, they have automatic inflation pass-through.
That inflation pass-through is a brilliant mechanism when you break it down. Because Visa charges a percentage toll on the underlying transaction, their revenue is perfectly hedged.
Right.
If the price of a gallon of milk goes from $4 to $6 due to macroeconomic inflation, Visa's revenue goes up by 50% on that specific transaction.
And they capture that increase automatically. They never have to announce a fee increase, negotiate with clients, or write a new line of code.
And the ultimate proof of this architecture occurred on the exact same day we are analyzing.
It is a remarkable contrast. On June 1st, 2026, while Alphabet was selling $80 billion of its own stock to fund the concrete needed to grow, Visa continued buying back its own shares.
Funded entirely by their free cash flow, requiring absolutely no capital expenditure to generate their future growth. You are looking at a business spending $0 to grow versus a business spending $190 billion to grow.
One business dilutes its owners to purchase the wave, while the other concentrates its owners while the wave arrives for free.
Which brings up an obvious contradiction. Given the severe cost of Alphabet's mechanical B and the reality that they are falling far short of the free surfer ideal, why did Berkshire Hathaway agree to purchase $10 billion of that stock?
It is a very valid question. Why buy into a highly capital-intensive, dilutive growth story?
Right.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is a profound demonstration of pragmatism. Berkshire Hathaway recognizes exactly what the framework recognizes.
That in the absolute absence of a pure free surfer within the mega-cap technology sector, holding a magnificent A paired with an imperfect B is simply the next buyout option available.
Exactly. The logic is that Google search is so deeply embedded in global human behavior, and the toll it collects is so relentlessly powerful, that it generates a volume of cash substantial enough to subsidize that mechanical capital expenditure.
The legacy business is strong enough to carry the burden of the new infrastructure while still managing to return some measure of value to the shareholders over the long term.
Berkshire is making a highly calculated compromise. They are actively buying the A, and they are fully accepting the impurity of the B. However, it is equally important to observe what Berkshire does not do in this scenario.
They aren't selling their pure free surfers to fund this purchase. They do not liquidate their positions in the payment networks to chase the artificial intelligence narrative.
No, they added Alphabet using new capital, and they secured it at a slight discount, negotiating a price of roughly $350 per share.
By doing so, they maintain the architectural hierarchy within their broader portfolio. The imperfect B is treated as an addition, but it is never a replacement for a pure architecture.
And that slight discount they secured is a vital piece of the puzzle. Berkshire negotiated a specific entry point, but the author issues a very clear warning for the average investor buying at the prevailing market price.
Which introduces the concept of the missing gap. At $367 per share, the article argues that Alphabet trades above any reasonable zero growth floor.
Right. If you are an investor buying at $367, you have completely abandoned the zero growth floor. Meaning, if the company's earnings suddenly flatline, there is no baseline valuation to catch you.
The author cites a highly precise warning from Warren Buffett regarding this exact dynamic. Paying too high a purchase price for the stock of an excellent company can completely undo the effects of a subsequent decade of favorable business development.
This is the danger of the missing gap. The investor who buys Alphabet at that elevated market price is effectively paying full price for the magnificent A.
But because the entry price is so high, they are also paying in advance for the anticipated success of the mechanical B.
Exactly. And then, through this $80 billion equity raise, they are forced to pay a third time through shareholder dilution.
So what does this all mean? If you are holding Alphabet stock right now, where does this leave you?
It means there is no gap to protect you against disappointment. If artificial intelligence development hits a technical hurdle, or if the profit margins turn out to be significantly lower than expected, the investor has absolutely no margin of safety.
Contrast that situation with the pure free surfer we discussed earlier. According to the framework, that company sits 22% below its zero growth floor.
The market is pricing it as if it will never grow its earnings again, largely because the daily headlines are entirely focused on artificial intelligence capital expenditure.
Yet it continues to compound its earnings, and it does so for free. One business is priced for a decade of flawless execution in a highly contested market, while the other is priced for stagnation but grows anyway.
The core lesson here is that the price of the stock dictates whether the investor receives a margin of safety or whether they pay a premium for growth that may ultimately fail to materialize as actual profits.
The underlying architecture of the business determines the cost of the growth. but the price of the stock determines who actually pays for it.
We are witnessing a fundamental architectural shift. The most profitable companies in human history are actively transforming themselves into heavy, industrial-scale infrastructure builders.
The software era of infinite costless scaling is finally meeting the physical reality of data centers, power grids, and silicon.
It is the defining architectural question of this current wave of technological investment.
Which leaves us with a final, rigorous question for you to ponder long after this discussion ends. If building the architecture of the future requires actively diluting the most profitable monopolies in history, what will the eventual profit margins of artificial intelligence actually look like once this massive infrastructure is finally complete?
A very necessary question to ask.
Are we currently overvaluing the builders of the toll road while structurally undervaluing the businesses who will eventually drive their operations over it for free?
It is something every investor needs to carefully evaluate.
We encourage you to explore these concepts further. You can read more about the Free Surfer, the Three Layers Test, and the entire analytical framework from the Averaging Up collection by visiting averagingup.com. In an era defined by unprecedented capital expenditure, always look beneath the narrative to examine the architecture of the business.